Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Andrew Barron here on this Thursday. We got Week 9 NFL Daily Fantasy. Just not that great of a slate that we have out here. Not a lot of high total games. We don't have the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles on the main slate, although we do have everyone's favorite, the fighting Miami football Dolphins, and just a lot of chalk at running back. There are like six guys projected 20% or over, and then no one that the field seems to like after that. So good week to build, I think.
Yeah, that is tough. I don't know, man. Dodging six chalk running backs is not going to be easy. But when it comes to stacks, this is a similar thing. We said, I'm talking about this last week and the week before, we've only got one of the three alphas on the slate. So Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts are on primetime games. So it's just Josh Allen, which, you know, when there's all three of them, probably makes sense to just kind of jam them because it's really hard to dodge all three. When there's only one, it really does put a lot of other guys into play. Now, listen, the floor on Josh Allen is considerably higher than the floor on Hurts or Lamar. Like, a bad Josh Allen game is still probably 25 points. So it's not like you're just cooking if he doesn't, you know, if they just blow him out or he doesn't do all that well. But I think it does, like the last few weeks, bring a few more. You can play some pretty, you know, crappy quarterbacks this week because they save you some money, and it's really just the one guy with the 40-point ceiling that you're trying to dodge here. So,
yeah, I don't know. It's probably the headline of the week is that a lot of the secondary options, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, not really that excited to play those guys. But Tua, Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence at 5,200 is looking like he's looking like the guy for me, I think. And you know, your very obvious gold star play of the week. All your favorite touts will be touting Devontae Adams against the Jacksonville Jaguars this week.
Okay. You want to guess who my like favorite gold star Vom stack guy is? And I'm wondering if you've heard much about him and if he's going to be chalked, because again, not a ton of tout data yet.
Fields.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what you do with Fields is super obvious. You play Fields naked or with Kmet. You use Tyreek and you use Waddle. You play one non-chalk running back. And then you print your Sklansky bucks.
Yeah, I suppose that's one way to go about it. I mean, Darnell Mooney is really standing out to me. He's got like a 30% market share of targets. He just doesn't have a touchdown.
The thing with him is that what is a really good Darnell? Because like Fields, if he gets there in the optimal, I don't think is going to get there via 35 passing attempts. He's not gone over 30 passing attempts this year. So Mooney, I don't
700.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably
He had a 12-target game 2 weeks ago. You know, he's got 5 and 6 his last couple. But say he gets 8 or 9 targets and he runs efficiently, he catches a touchdown, he ekes his way into the 100-yard bonus. I mean, that's how Fields gets optimal, and it's certainly how Mooney. You know, if he gets 7 for 100 and a touchdown, that's 26.
If he catches like a 33-yard touchdown at some point or whatever, his odds of making the optimal are pretty, pretty good. You're right.
I think so, too. And he just... You know, yes, the Bears have been bad. They're not throwing a lot, but the volume's been a little better. And obviously, he has 0 touchdowns on whatever, 40, 50 targets on the season. Like, that's not sustainable either. So, like it.
My favorite vomit stack is Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Zay Jones, you know, whatever. You got to leverage on ETN. You got Adams as your bring back. Geno doubles with a DeAndre Hopkins bring back. I like Kyler doubles with a Metcalf bring back. I don't really feel the need to play Josh Allen in tournaments this week, especially because I don't think the Jets are going to be able to push them in any way, shape, or form. So I think Josh Allen 30 is a much more likely outcome than a Josh Allen 40.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to be clear, I'm going to play 20-25% Josh Allen stacks, but I am an MME guy. He is by far the highest optimal probability. It's just when there aren't three guys with 15, 16, 18% optimal probability, it's a lot easier to feel okay about playing some crappy guys that can be in the conversation with 24, 28 points if Allen doesn't score 35.
Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts on, I mean, do you have any interest in Aaron Rodgers against this Lions defense?
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to, right? I mean, it's the Lions have really been the panacea for just about every bad offense in the league, and the Packers certainly fit the bill. So,
I mean, even the Patriots scored 30 on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they scored 29 to be
29 to nothing, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't know. Like, Dobbs doesn't look like he's going to be crazy popular. There's some cheap guys you can do. It's really hard to trust, but it's basically vomit stack pricing.
Yes. Yeah, it is. I will not be playing any Aaron Rodgers. You know, I just do single entry and three max, so I'm not even going there. Maybe I'll play a little bit of Dobbs as a one-off. Maybe I'll play a little bit of Bob Tonyan. But I think really what's just going to end up happening is Aaron
Tonyan's
Jones.
Tonyan's the chalk at tight end, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well, likely will be the Megazoid chalk if Andrews is ruled out, and Foster Moreau as well.
That's not main slate.
Is it not? Oh, yeah. No. You're right. You're right. It's not. I guess I was thinking my weekly fantasy football brain.
Thanks for listening to my entire opening, bro. You know, it was the whole point. Well, is there's no Lamar on this slate.
Foster Moreau will be the mega chalk if Darren Waller's ruled out.
I'd like to see Waller back one of these days. For one of my like very best and most expensive best ball teams has Darren is in first place with Darren Waller and Albert O as my tight ends, which tough so scenes. I've been catching a bagel there like 3 weeks in a row and still somehow holding on, but that's not going to last much longer.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him back.
I mean, I think Herbert is sort of interesting because he could run the stacking options, Palmer, Everett, and DeAndre Carter are all very cheap. Eckler is going to be turbo chalk. Yeah. I this is, again, an angle I would not be playing because I think the far more likely thing is this game's really disappointing. The Chargers score like 18 points and might even lose to the Atlanta Falcons. But that is a theoretical angle that you could consider. I will not be doing it, though. My core is going to be Kyler, Geno, and Fields with Lawrence thrown in there as well.
Okay. I mean, I can buy a little bit of Lawrence. The totals, if you look at the individual team totals, it's pretty wild this week. You got Buffalo clear tier one by themselves. They're pushing 30. Then you've got, I would say, tier two is Green Bay, the Chargers, and the Cardinals, who are all, you know, right around 26, 26 and a half. And then you've got eight teams in between 23 and 25. So there's a lot of ways you can go. And a lot of those 23 to 25 point teams have massively different ownership projections and massively different pricing. So I think there's a lot of ways to attack. It really feels the last few weeks like it's just been like, God damn it. Like any, like all the super chalk running backs have really just smashed. Like Dante Foreman puts up his career game when he's, you know, when he's just cheap enough. If he was $500 more, no one would have played him. And I probably would have had more of it, you know, whatever. It would have been more advantageous to me if it worked out, but he was just cheap enough to be chalk, even though no one was even excited to play him. And of course he just does that same thing with Josh Jacobs. It was just cheap enough. He was a little bit underpriced. And that was the week he went nuclear. And then last week, God, they were terrible last week. I was very much on the Raiders. It was the Raiders and the Eagles and the Cowboys that were my sort of three big stands, and two went all right, but with all that chalk running back hitting and then the absolute disgusting performance of the Raiders, it didn't work out so hot. But
no,
do you think
no,
so
not.
Herbert, yeah. Herbert is in this funny price range. I also think that Burrow is in there, and there was one other guy I feel like
Burrow is completely unplayable.
Kyler. Yeah, I don't think they're going to get played at all. Is Burrow... You think he's completely unplayable? I think he's just like just dumb enough to work, kind of, because no one's going to play him.
I mean, yeah, if I was playing 500 lineups across three websites, maybe I would get a little bit of him. But he's like the 11th best quarterback play, because I think the far more likely scenario is they just press the reset button on the entire passing game and they say, we're playing 1976 football and we are just going to try and get Joe Mixon the ball 28 times, because they need some time to reconfigure what the offense is going to look like with Ja'Marr Chase. They were on a short week without him on that last one, and they just tried to run the normal Bengals offense with Mike Thomas playing Ja'Marr Chase's position. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. And I don't think they will have reconfigured the offense yet.
Yeah, I certainly worry about the field stretching element that Ja'Marr Chase takes away. T. Higgins is not a particularly good athlete. I mean, he can win jump balls because he's such a like beast, but he's not running down the field and stretching it out. Mike Thomas is not the answer. Some guy named Trenton Irwin, who I had never heard of, actually split those snaps with Mike Thomas. He played 43%, and as far as I know, he is still on the team this week. So that's out there. I don't know. It's just like Cincinnati has the same total as the Dolphins, right? They are the top teams in this third tier of muck where there's all these guys. All these eight teams in between a couple of points of each other. I just don't think anyone's going to play T. He's also very expensive. Boyd is expensive. Hayden Hurst is not. I don't know. I think Burrow doubles are conceivable against a pretty rough Carolina defense and a team that's in rebuilding mode. The ceiling is not what it was with Ja'Marr Chase there, but I don't know that it needs to be on a week where we don't have Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. And it's really just, is Burrow going to be, can Burrow to T. Higgins compete with a Josh Allen, Steph Diggs combining for 65 points game? No, I don't think so. It's not like when Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase conceivably could, but I don't think that's necessarily what you're shooting for this week. Obviously, it would be great, but I think that Burrow can win in a he and T combined for 58 points kind of way.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. I think they're playing too slow, and I think that their response to Burrow eating, what was it, 6 sacks last week, I think it's just going to be quick passing. Let's get to 21 points and call it good here. That is definitely my guess.
You may be right, but we thought that before, and you know, we had other Joe Mixon chalk weeks where they were huge favorites against when the Cowboys, like the first week without Dak, and you know that's not how it went.
Oh, I'm not playing Joe Mixon in tournaments. I mean, I might play him. I might play him in cash, but I think that Mixon has the worst range of outcomes. I'm down on the Bengals in this spot overall. I think it's just going to be pretty bad. Whereas, and it's not even, if Joe Burrow got down to 5,800, sure, but he's 6,600 and that salary matters this week, because for like the 19th week in a row, we don't have a 3K wide receiver to play.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Running back. Welcome to chalk week. Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Ramondre Stevenson, Kenneth Walker, Austin Eckler, and Aaron Jones. There are your 6 guys who are all projected for 20% or more ownership. If you like anyone other than that, enjoy your Sklansky bucks, because those guys are going to be so owned.
Wait, Kenneth Walker was one of the 6? I'm missing someone then, because we've got Eckler, ATN, Jones, Mixon, Ramondre, and Jacobs as the mega chalk so far, and Walker's a little bit behind that.
I think that'll be a thing when tags come in, because all the sites have him as a mega value. Our friends over on Establish the Run have Walker for 23% ownership. So I think our 10% will creep more towards 15, but and Walker might even get a little bit left behind, because there are so many plays.
There's so many guys, right?
For sure, Eckler, Etienne, Jones, Mixon, Jacobs, Stevenson are our turbo chalk.
Yes, I would agree. That to me stands out as the top so far. Eckler and Etienne as the top two. Etienne is I'm just gonna full stop and let you respond. Etienne is a much better play than Austin Eckler.
I mean, just given their salary discrepancies, yeah. I think Eckler has the best workload of any running back in the NFL right now in terms of expected points. No one's even really that close to him. But
ETN, is he the most efficient player in the history of the NFL? I don't know.
It seems
unlikely.
I think he actually kind of is in terms of like turning touches into points. I mean, I would have to go look, but I would guess he is close to the all-time leaders in NFL history in fantasy points per touch over
certainly this year. Yeah, but I feel like he's running good, and he did last year too. He ran like God in the red zone. But
I mean, for his career, Austin Eckler has 53 touchdowns on sub 1,000 touches. Like, and they are like specifically calling plays for him in the red zone now. Because Josh Kelly's on IR and Sony Michel stinks. So they're just, and probably more importantly, they have started the year so poorly that they can't, I think in their wildest dreams, their plan would have been to just be winning a bunch of games and then give the ball to Kelly and Michel to save the wear and tear on his tires. But I just think that they don't have that option available to them right now because they played so poorly.
Yeah, and the offensive line is hurt and hasn't been very good. It's been leading to a lot more dump offs. Justin Herbert himself has been hurt. I don't know. I just can't, like, at 8,800, I don't think he projects that much better than all of these other guys to be the most popular dude. So it's a little tough for me to get there. But he has, like, so he has one game where he got 16 targets and only caught 10 of them. Other than that, he has caught 43 of his 45 targets. Just like, I mean, it's, and he has whatever, 8 touchdowns. This is, it's really, and including like, he was really, really bad for the first 3 games, was it? Where everyone was like panicking about him. And then he's got, you know, 35 point games in 3 of the last 4. I don't see the 30, I don't know. I think it's really like, you got to dodge 35. And I do think that's a 90th percentile outcome. You know, it's thus on the season, it's shown to only be as like 68th percentile outcome or whatever. But I don't know. I have a hard time with him this week. I think I will end up being under if he's going to be the most popular running back. ETN.
I think he's pretty easy to not play in tournaments just because the requirements of an 8K running or an almost 9K running back are so high.
Yeah.
ETN feels like fine chalk. Aaron Jones is the one that feels more fragile just because I think this could be a spot where they rework AJ Dillon back in. I suppose we'll see. Mixon also feels like just a really easy guy not to play. Like everything can go perfect for him and he just gets 18. I will probably just play a lot of Ramondre, a lot of Kenneth Walker, a little bit of Leonard Fournette. Eno Benjamin looks like a much better play if James Conner doesn't play because Darrell Williams played about 35% of the snaps last week, but he got hurt again. He's on the short-term IR.
Is there another next up? I don't think that Eno's going to see more than 70% of the snaps in any situation, really. Do you?
I mean, he played like 90% of the snaps like 2 weeks ago against the Saints.
Wow. Yeah, we had this conversation about Tony.
He had like a bajillion points, too, in that game. Eno did.
Yeah, showdown. Doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
We had that conversation about Tony Pollard last week, remember? It was like, well, listen, here's the thing I think that most people kind of screw up when the, you know, a running back is out. It's like, does the backup or whoever just step into all the workload? Usually not. And then it's like, all right, well, Tony Pollard did in the one game. He played like 90% of the snaps. And it was like, all right, well, that makes him a little bit better. And then last week he played like 53, 55% of the snaps,
but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, which is like, it's like I said, I wasn't going to wait until Christmas to open my presents and Tony Pollard jammed 35 points in the eyes of the faders. And I would do that again, even knowing like Tony Pollard on 50% snaps is like Alvin Kamara on 50% snaps. He's still going to get there.
Yeah, he can.
But Eno, the main reason to be in on Eno this week is he will be one of the few running backs who's got a 25 point ceiling who is not going to find themselves on 20% of the rosters. Like I just, right. This will be the most concentrated running back ownership week of the season.
Yeah, you could be right. Another guy that really, really stands out to me so far, this could be his, like, you know, he just scores 25 points every week and actively hurts your DFS rosters is Dalvin Cook. He just can't quite get over the hump to really nuke. He's like having these monster games. His workload's great, but you know, some chalk guys just keep crushing him. I've been over him every week. He looks like he's probably going to be 5-8% again. I will be playing quite a bit of Dalvin Cook. I think he's a really strong play at that ownership. But, you know, yeah, with all these like really nice chalk guys in the 6Ks showing over and over again that the 30-point ceiling is real for them, Dalvin's really going to need to do the 35. You know, like Christian McCaffrey last week was not an optimal play. Despite like, you know, rushing, receiving, and throwing a touchdown, he like wasn't good enough to be optimal because he was so expensive. So,
well, because Pollard got so many points and
Pollard, Kamara, and Foreman already combined for like,
yeah, like if you
he
get,
was
if,
drawing dead to 50 at the 4 p.m. kickoff, but
right, you know, yeah. So
point
so,
being, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't optimal, and that I think that has happened a few times this week. The Jacobs Kenny Walker week that would have happened too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I would say just with the ranges of outcomes, Mixon, Jacobs, ETN, Ramondre, Walker, I would say those guys all projecting so well makes it pretty unlikely that Eckler ends up being optimal, I would think.
I think so too. And Cook, you know, he is expensive too. So I'm kind of making the, you know, it's a similar argument to the one I'm going against Eckler on the one hand, but going for Cook with a pretty similar argument. Cook's a little bit cheaper, but really it comes down to Cook is going to be 1/5 of the ownership. So let give it to me. Come on, Dalvin, let's do this. One of these times you can do it. It's been so frustrating because every week it's like, oh, hell yeah, found the end zone again. All right, he's like almost at 100 yards. All right. And then, yeah, 25 points is just like terrible. So
I wonder if this shoulder injury is causing them to not give him red zone snaps, because Madison scored another goal line touchdown last week. So I wonder if the repeated occurrences of this shoulder injury is a reason they're limiting his goal. I mean, that's galaxy
maybe.
Brain
I
stuff,
mean, the workload's been pretty good. No one gets 100% of their team's red zone rushes.
Sure. Know? Yeah. All right. That's really all I got at running back. Like I don't really see I will probably just be playing those seven guys, honestly.
Okay. Do you think Antonio Gibson is back in any
way?
He had a monster PM
game. He's more interesting because JD McKissick sounds legit questionable this week. Yeah. I think he was no practice Wednesday, limited practice Thursday. So if he doesn't go, we think Gibson probably has a lock on the receiving work. And he just has looked so much better than Brian Robinson. He's a smidge interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a sprinkle play. So
yeah. All right. Wide receiver. Again, we don't have any value. No 3K plays yet. T. Higgins is projecting too well in our stuff. I need to go. I need to mess with the Bengals baselines. DeAndre Hopkins just gets a bazillion points.
Have to dock their overall efficiency. I'm guessing that may be what it is, because they are popping as pretty strong leverage right now. But
yeah, I've not adjusted enough for Chase being out. DeAndre Hopkins has 28 targets in his first two games back as a member of the Arizona Cardinals. Both of the Seattle guys,
Austin Eckler.
Yeah, both of the Seattle guys look insane. I will be jamming the Dolphins guys. Devontae Adams. Adams looks like the best leverage play of the slate to me.
Yep.
St. Brown looks really good. Diggs at 12% looks pretty interesting to me. Would be a lot less interested at 18, 19, 20%.
He'll get a little more for sure.
Mooney, Dobbs, Zay Jones, Garrett Wilson, Christian Kirk, DJ Moore. I mean, these are the guys that your opponents are going to be playing. Josh Palmer without Keenan and Mike, DeAndre Carter without Keenan and Mike. The cheap guy that looks playable right now is Tyquan Thornton with Devontae Parker and Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, both banged up. He's 3,300. He's played 90% of the snaps in back-to-back weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That seems fine. You mentioned Devontae Adams. That's the best play here, because it's going to be Reek is going to be the most popular. Diggs and Hopkins are going to be right there, you know, a little bit below Reek. But then Adams looks like he is going to be, you know, a third of the ownership of Reek, and then probably whatever half of those next two guys. Pretty classic zag. Played a lot of them last week. Didn't go so well, but I think, you know, Adams is. He's right. Obviously, there's nothing you really need to say about him. He's right there in air yards. He's right there in opportunity with all of these guys. Just had a few run bad weeks. Obviously, his quarterback's a little bit worse, but whatever. He'll have his games.
Yeah.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, too. It's kind of looking like Detroit and Green Bay could be like not that out of control chalk, in which case, I mean, why not, right? Like, there's a lot of cheap players on Green Bay. Amon-Ra is actually 6,600 is a little bit less. You know, if he hadn't been a little hurt lately, he'd be 7,700 by now, you know?
Yeah, he's probably my favorite. Like, Adams is my favorite leverage play, but St. Brown's just my favorite play of the week. Like, I will be in cash games, I will be IKBing him. I will be I know bettering him over whoever it is that my opponents are playing. I'll be jamming him in.
I have heard the IKB and didn't actually know what that meant. So thank you for clarifying that.
There you go.
If we're being topical about, what everyone's into, it was Chris. I remember when Chris Harris was doing this, but you know, people, a lot of flag plant talk these days. I think if I were to have one, it's Darnell Mooney's kind of my dude this week. I will be kind of, you know, obviously I'm not going to be playing 67%. I wouldn't play him in like two or three single entries, but I would certainly have him in one. And I think he's going to be sub 10% owned. And I think he's a very strong play, and he's value. He's 4,700. Like, all of these guys, these other guys are great, but they are more expensive and you're going to have to save somewhere. Fields has quietly been very good the last little bit, you know, at least fantasy wise. So I think that he's
got 35 rushing points. He's got 35 rushing points over the last 3 weeks and heading into a great game. Yeah.
Yeah. And rushing is just an absolute goldmine. Like, that's why, you know, it's not like, that's why I always, Patrick Mahomes, I never want to play when you're always like, Mahomes is the best play on the week. It's just like, he just doesn't run enough. It's like the Allen, Lamar, Hurts have the crazy ceilings. And Fields is like a crappy version of those guys. He's got that same kind of ability. So he can easily run for, 60 and a touchdown. And I don't know, maybe he is really fast. Like, he's faster than those other three and could be in that. I think he could challenge for the 100-yard rushing bonus if they – you got to let him cook, you know? Can I talk you into, or I don't know if I want to talk you into, but are you interested in the potential of Tyler Boyd as a one-off who looks like a little bit cheaper, reasonable leverage, but he's a slot receiver and as a one-off?
If he was 5,800, yeah, but he's 6,300.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough. Waddle looks nice. Like, I think that game is going to be popular, but, Reek is going to be way more popular than Waddle.
I mean, that's what I thought last week, but Waddle ended up 20% owned in all of my stuff.
Oh, really? He was not in the lottos. It was a pretty big disparity in the lottos. So
yeah, I mean, the chalk obviously condenses more in when people are hand building their lineups versus putting them through a computer.
That's true, but it's also in smaller field tournaments, people are more willing to just like onslaught a game. Like, I wouldn't want to double stack. Like, it's just too expensive to double stack Tua with Reek and Waddle in a lotto. But yeah, if I was in a 100-person tournament, if they score 40 points, then it's a pretty good chance that works out. But it's just too much money to do in a lotto where you really kind of have to be hit it a little more pure. Can you talk? Are there any Jets you can talk yourself into as a bring back for a Buffalo stack?
Yeah, Wilson. I mean, he's just unbelievable. Sure. Like it just doesn't matter how bad Zach Wilson is. Garrett Wilson finds a way to get there. I mean, 100 yards last week when Zach Wilson like literally looked lost. They're not even playing Elijah Moore. Yeah, Garrett Wilson, I think, is a pretty good play.
I think that's the one I would go towards as well. But there are multiple options. Is Corey Davis going to play this week?
I've not put him back in our stuff. I have not seen an update that made me feel optimistic enough to put him back in.
Okay. And are they going to play Elijah Moore?
No, mm-mm. No, feels like that that ship has sailed, at least for the time being. I would expect if we were to see that, we'd get an announcement like Robert Saleh will be like, okay, we're gonna play Elijah this week. But right now they're bigging up Denzel Mims. They're like, yeah, Denzel Mims is part of our offense.
Oh boy, yeah, that's not what you want. Justin Jefferson, I suppose. I don't know. That's like, he's very expensive and has not really had quite the same workload or the total or the other contextual factors. Like, he's
Arizona schemes against the wide receiver one. That was all the talk last week, and then it pretty much ended up happening. They let themselves get beat by KJ Osborne last week. I don't know if there's any
Arizona playing this week. Seattle. Okay, so.
So which one?
Tyler Lockett, a million slot. I mean, wide receiver one, if it's like a toss-up, of which it's usually going to be the outside guy that teams are more afraid of. So I would say it's Metcalf if he's going to get that narrative is going to rain true. I don't know. I'm not particularly sanguine about either picking a Seattle receiver, but yeah. I think they're both pretty fun.
I like DeAndre Carter and Tyquan Thornton a little bit as cheap guys. Khalif Raymond has a 16% target share over the last 3 weeks against Green Bay. Terrace Marshall got 9 targets last week. And that's where my interest in the wide receiver pool ends.
Okay. Yeah, we noticed we haven't talked about the Bucs at all. Brady always sucks against the Rams. There is a real football reason for it. It's because he can't move. Pressure in the middle just like really ruins his day. Aaron Donald is as good as it gets at getting pressure in the middle. He's really struggled against the Rams every time they've played, which is why I'm not going to tell Mike Evans, because the last game, 2 weeks ago, like he had like 58 expected fantasy points. It was just insane. He drops the 85-yard touchdown. He drops another one. It was like one, there was a Diggs week last year, I can't remember, where he had a similar situation. And it was, of course, an Allen scores 35 points, but Diggs just doesn't catch the 3 touchdowns he sort of had and ends up stinking. Drake London as a bring back if you're doing Charger stacks?
No.
No? Pitts. Can't do it?
Pitts only.
Well, sure. Pitts is the best tight end.
London has like 4 targets the last month. Like, seriously.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. Who's ahead of him? Is Zacchaeus, and isn't there another guy that's been playing lately for Atlanta?
They rotate.
Oh, Demir Burr yeah. has been getting a lot of snaps.
Drake London.
Like, I don't know. I could play some Mariota this week, so I'm trying to figure out how to do that. And London is kind of was a boss at the beginning of the year. I don't know what his deal is.
Well, he had 8 for 86 and 1 against the Rams, and that was it. That was pretty much it for him. 3 for 54 and 1 the next week, and then his best game since then has been 3 for 40.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross. It's it.
Okay.
Oh, tight and Gabe end. Davis, if you want to zag on Buffalo
sure.
stacks.
No. Sure. Tight end, Robert Tonyan, looking like the big value this week. Not sure I buy it. Obviously, a lot of the Packers stuff is being fed in from defensive efficiency stuff from the Lions, but I don't think the Packers could get to 50 points playing against no one. I think they could line up against 0 defenders and they would get 21. I don't even really think it matters. Evan Ingram, I do like at 3,300. Tyler Higbee at 3,700. I do not. I think he's like the worst play of the week that people are going to jam. Parham is getting a decent projection from us right now. I will probably alter that a little bit. 8.4 looks a little high. And then Brock Wright of the Detroit Lions. He's probably my favorite minimum salary play.
Okay. That seems fine. Just because what's the book on him? They had this other guy named Hawkinson for a while, you know?
So Brock Wright last year started a couple games as a rookie because TJ Hawkinson was out. Starting in week 14, he played 56%, 75%, 73%, and 71% of the snaps. He scored 2 touchdowns. He wasn't super involved. But the only I would be like jamming him, but they have this 5th round rookie they drafted named James Mitchell, who they really like, who scored a receiving touchdown last week. And I think this might just become a Jake Ferguson, Peyton Hendershot situation where when Dalton Schultz was out, where those guys just like split time. Basically, I would be jamming right if Mitchell was not on the team, because I think he'd step into like, and he still might step into like a 90% snap share, but I need to see it for a week first, I think.
Okay. I think that Tyler Conklin is potentially interesting. Like, we're looking for bring backs with Buffalo. You know, you don't have to for sure, but he's one of them. And, you know, he's got a 16 point game and a 25 point game on the season. It's not pretty, but I don't think he'll be super popular, and whatever, if he's got a 20% chance of scoring 16, 18 points, and especially if he can beat Dawson Knox in the same game and you've got him paired with Allen, that really can get you ahead.
Yeah. Any real angle? I mean, if Waller does play at 4,900, he's probably pretty strong. I won't be doing the Noah Fant thing. I have a feeling the field will gravitate that way just a little bit. Cole Kmet as your guy with Fields. I mean, he doesn't get any targets, but he's got like a 96% snap share on the year. So if for whatever reason, if Fields does throw 41 passes, I would expect Kmet to be brought along with him.
Yeah, three targets a game and one touchdown every three seasons. Seems fine.
We love to see it. Yeah. It's just, I mean, the tight end position is just so horrible. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I think you can kind of just be like, okay, I'm fine with Pitts as a one-off. I'm fine with Tonyan as a one-off. If Waller plays, I'm fine with him as a one-off. And other than that, pair him with the quarterback. Just be like, tight end, make sure there's a quarterback from the same game in that lineup if you're for like MME rules. Because I think it's just kind of, you know, who gets dragged along could be. Yeah. Oh, Ertz, I suppose, is like a reasonable one-off too. He's very expensive, but, you know, when it's such a bad week, if he puts up a
he scored two touchdowns in these two last two games, but his target share, he's seen the most dramatic drop off in target share with Hopkins return, which makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
And then Hurst is like, we talked about him a little earlier.
Hurst would probably be the Bengal I would most want to play, but he's priced up at 3,600, which is gross. If you have defenses you like this week, not named the Panthers or not named the Buccaneers, have at it, because they are going to be the big league chalk. The Panthers might get above 20% in single entry three max contests.
Yeah. I mean, I can potentially get into the idea of like just Bills onslaught with, it's too expensive probably to do all the expensive guys. You know, if you're doing like Gabe Davis and Josh Allen and the Bills and defense and just kind of be like, all right, they just crush them and there's no other quarterback scoring 35. There's just a crazy ceiling on that. Zach Wilson is absolutely, I mean, he makes a lot of mistakes. I don't know. Absolutely terrible. Might not be fair. He makes a lot of mistakes. The Bills have an incredible pass rush. They have a very good secondary that's been banged up. Tre'Davious White's coming back this week. He probably won't be as good as he used to be like right off the start, but you know, he could still have some ball hawking tendencies. I just think they're very expensive, so it's going to keep the ownership down, but the ceiling on the Bills is nuts. So I think I can get there a little bit. I don't know, the football team, like, they put a lot of pressure on people. Kirk Cousins can do dumb stuff. They've been efficient, but the Patriots, I suppose, against S. Ellinger, but they're very expensive too. I don't know. And then, yeah, kind of spin the wheel. The Rams aren't even that cheap, but the Rams against Brady, like, they hurt him. It's not like he's going to turn the ball over that much, but they could sack
him. I might play the Jets and just hope they get a fumble sack on Josh and get to 6 points or whatever.
I actually kind of think the Jets are going to be like 8% owned just because this is the 2K, you know, and people know it just doesn't really, there's like not really a ton of rhyme or reason to it.
I don't think people know that, because every week the number one points per dollar defense is always just absolutely jammed.
Sure, but it's the best, it's always like the best points per dollar defense, like under 3K, you know, like they still don't, people won't play the expensive ones. They do really like to save money, but yeah, you're right. Whenever there's a $2,500 defense in like a reasonable spot, it's like jamming it. What about the, I mean, listen, this is gal brain, but talk yourself into maybe a little bit of like going over on the Packers and also going over on the Lions defense against Rodgers. Like, is that a high variance situation where they have like terrible offensive weapons and I don't know, Rodgers can do bad things. 2,600.
The thing is Rodgers doesn't throw interceptions.
No,
that's,
he doesn't.
Yeah, that's it. Like maybe the Packers score like 9 points or something and just have like a total chaos, whatever. But I just don't think Rodgers will take that many sacks or eat that many turnovers is really the issue.
He did throw a pick six a couple weeks ago. I remember watching. Who was that against? Patriots,
It got called back. He did throw it, but it got called back because I played the defense against them that week too, so I was jazzed for it, and it didn't end up happening. But yeah, I mean,
sure.
Really, the only advice I have is just don't play the Panthers and don't play the Buccaneers.
Sure. Yeah, Bears defense is going to be bad, but like the Dolphins offense is so chalky, and Tua's like, you know, can be raw enough. It's like you could talk yourself into a little bit of it, but yeah, pretty much spin the wheel.
All right, your favorite stack is what?
I mean, it's the Bills for sure, but like I think my favorite stack that not everyone is going to be going after is the Bears. And like, cause you can bring back Tyreek without having like an insanely chalky situation. I think the Fields to Mooney situation.
Yeah, I think probably Fields, Tyreek, Waddle, Mooney. or maybe even not Mooney, hoping Fields gets to 22. I like that. I really like.
I mean, I would double stack Fields with both of the expensive Dolphins receivers. That's a little, that's a fancy play syndrome to me, but.
No, that's the game goes the 35-35 into overtime or whatever, but Fields.
Right, but
runs...
in that case, both of those guys are optimal, Tua is going to be optimal. He's only like $400 more than Fields, right?
Naked Tua won the Millie last week. How about that?
Oh, he's considerably more expensive. He's 6,700. Okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. What about you? What's your favorite stack?
Lawrence, Kirk, Ingram, Adams, for sure.
I like it.
Just direct leverage on the most owned play of the slate in ETN. I really like that spot.
Yeah, I really like Adams a lot too. I don't know. I don't mind Jacobs. I think he's going to be popular, but I don't think it's going to be out of control popular. And I think ETN will be more popular. And the Raiders are the favorites here. Let us not forget. So
it's true. Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here, everyone. All this stuff will be updated and fixed on dailyroto.com over the next couple of days. It's free if you want to sign up for that. We're working on a props tool that'll be public facing sometime.
Basically, if tonight goes all right, like me and Pacheco are just monitoring this, and one it's been one like tech problem after another, but it's just about good to go. And
there you go.
If you know me, reach out and I will happily give you the link because it is on our website. It's just not public. It's just not public facing, but if you have the address, you can check it out. It's cool.
All right. There we go. Everyone, we will, we'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Rich Rebar.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.